rugged hill stood a rugged cross, and upon that cross there hung in shame God's beloved Son, Christ the lovely one, who from heaven to the sinner came. Calvary, rugged hill of sorrow, where the Prince of Glory died for me. Wounded, crushed and broken hearted, alone he suffered untold agony. Sinless, there he bore my burden, that from sinful shame I might be free. Glorious day, he took my sins away on the cross of Calvary. Priceless cost. Calvary, rugged hill of sorrow, where the Prince of Glory died for me. Wounded, crushed and broken hearted, alone he suffered untold agony. Sinless, there he bore my burden, that from sinful shame I might be free. Glorious day, he took my sins away on the cross of Calvary. On the cross of Calvary.
Daniel chapter 3. Find Daniel chapter 3 this morning in your Bible and turn there. We're going to be in two or three different places in the book of Daniel, so I want you to keep it open to that portion. And we'll try to get to some verses today and learn some things from the Word of God that really are very, very familiar, just restating some of the obvious things that we've learned over the years from this great story of these four boys who went from Jerusalem to Babylon. So Daniel chapter 3, and if you found your place, you're able to stand together out of respect and reverence for God's Word, then let's do that. I'm going to begin reading in the middle of the story for sake of time, beginning with verse 16. So you follow along. The Bible says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. That matter being that they had not bowed to worship the image. He said in verse 17, they said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded, watch this, that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. So I want to speak on the subject, standing when the heat's turned up. Standing when the heat's turned up. Father, would you please help us this morning? Help us to learn from this familiar, wonderful, true story. Some lessons that will help us stand when the heat has turned up. Not if the heat turns up, but when. God, I pray that you'll speak through me this morning. Fill me with your power. Fill all of us so that our ears will hear what the Spirit will say to us today. And edify and build your church, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. So just as people were wondering what else could happen during this crazy year of 2020, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died on Friday. You're aware of that. Which leaves an empty seat on the Supreme Court. And liberal groups and individuals have already turned up the rhetoric concerning, you know, a possible appointment by President Trump prior to the November 3rd election. And I might say, church, you know this, it is an important appointment. John Roberts is a closet liberal. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He can't be trusted to vote along the lines of a constitutional conservative. What a wasted appointment John Roberts has turned out to be. And the rhetoric from the left has been vitriolic. It's been dangerous. It's been really terroristic in nature. Burn it down? Folks, that's terrorist type. No, that's talk. Now, is it possible that we have not seen the depths of rioting and demonstrating that could take place if a nomination moves forward in the Senate, as McConnell has said that it will? Well, the truth of the matter is, all of this has just added to what has already been an incredibly raucous and violent year. Makes you wonder what else could come along to top the unbelievable events that have taken place in 2020. Yesterday, text messages came over the cell phone, calls came into the cell phone, questions were asked in person, face to face yesterday. Is this the prelude to the tribulation? Are we in the vestibule to the tribulation period? Are we at the end of the end times? You know, a missionary tells another missionary that he believes it's going to get very crazy as we approach the election. So a text comes to my phone, Dad, what do you think? Well, you know what, folks? I don't have all the answers. And I have no crystal ball, and I wouldn't use one if I did. I don't believe in them. But there is. I think we can unreservedly say that there is a spirit of evil that has been unleashed on the world that has affected everybody. I think we can say that pretty carefully, pretty certainly. What China did by sending this virus out, it is man-made. Did not come from a bat. It was not the product of some wet market. It was humanly created. It was sent out to disrupt the world. It's pure evil. But people, you got to remember, the government is communistic. They're godless. They have, in communism, human life has zero value. Zero value. Look at all the communist dictators from Pol Pot to Mao Zedong that took over countries. How many hundreds of thousands, even millions, Stalin, of people died under communism? There's no value of human life under that form of government. It's godless, okay? So I think we can honestly say that this is pure evil that's happened in the world. National economies have been destroyed. The number of elderly people who have died alone in nursing homes with no one able to visit them as they depart this life. Now, I wasn't going to say much about it, but their policy at Loyola was no visitors. I stopped to see Pam on the way home from college Thursday. I thought, I'm going to see her. I passed the screening, and they wouldn't let me in. And it burnt me up. So I called the hospital on my way home, talked to the spiritual care department. And gender has nothing to do with it. It was a woman. I was planning to be pleasant, but she was snarky. And I stopped to see a patient, a member of our church who's been up here 30 days. Well, we're just trying to do what's best for the patient. I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. There's a spiritual side to this. You're telling me that it's best for that patient who's not a COVID patient? Not to see her husband or a visit from her pastor for 30 days. That's best for her. Well, we believe in the medical side of this. I said, well, I disagree. I said, you need to be a voice. Well, I'm not going to be. I believe with the hospital. We believe in them. And it got nasty on the phone. And then I called the nurse, her nurse. And we had a conversation. And then about 6:30 that night, we were sitting down for supper. And Delbert calls me and he says, I got a call from Loyola. You and I have permission to go visit Pam tomorrow. And so I said, amen. So somebody got the message somewhere. But folks, listen, that's wrong. That's wrong. That doesn't help a patient. To be not seeing small businesses have been shuttered by lockdown restrictions that will not be able to reopen. Life has changed from what we have known. And for most of us, it's a type of life that we have never before experienced. Churches were closed to in-person services. Churches are being fined today. For me, are you listening? Churches. Our Constitution says plainly, government will not interfere with the free exercise of religion. They're being fined for having in-person services, meeting in parking lots. Schools are still closed, which means parents are not able to go to work. And those small businesses have to pay those parents who have to stay home because the schools are closed. Small in consideration compared to everything else. But even material things that we are used to buying when we need them are not available when we need them. I called this week to a furniture store down here. Most of you know it, Leisure's. If you've never been to Leisure's, you're missing a great experience down in Hersher. It's the most chaotic furniture store, but you won't find better furniture at a better price, I'll promise you, down there. We've always bought our furniture from Leisure's. And they told me it'll getting furniture for the platform in the building over here. And they said it'll be after Christmas till you get it. After Christmas. Now, that's small potatoes compared to everything else. But I'm just saying life has changed. You can't deny that. So is it going to get rough for Christians? Is it going to get tough for those who desire to follow Christ? Is the spirit of Antichrist growing stronger and stronger? If it is, then I believe we can expect the heat to be turned up against the people of God. I believe it's going to get uglier for anyone who loves the Lord and loves the things of the Lord. And I don't think there's any sense in just ignoring it and neglecting it. And I think a fair question for me to ask myself, will I stand when the heat's turned up? Will you stand when the heat's turned up? It's a fair question. These three young men, they stood. They stood when the heat got turned up. And I mean literally, it was heated. The furnace 7 times hotter. We know their names. In chapter 1, we learned them. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. They were given Babylonian names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men stood. They would not bow to the image which the king had set up. They wouldn't bow to the government. The king was the government. And the reason they would not bow was not because they were just being obstinate. They were being obedient to the commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. I appreciate any athlete or anybody who is known, a person of notoriety in our country over the last 3 or 4 months, who has said, I won't bow to anybody but God. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. When the king offered them a second chance, they refused. Don't waste your time, king. Why? Because the outcome is going to be the same. They were confident their God could. You read the scripture there carefully. They were confident their God could and would deliver them. But if not, they were prepared to burn. You see that in verse number 18. But if not. We believe our God can and we believe God will. But if for some reason God has decided that this is the end, we ain't bowing. We'll burn before we bow. Will I stand when the heat's turned up? Will you stand when the heat is turned up? Now, they stood. The heat got turned up. And God eventually protected them in the fire in such a way that they did not even smell like smoke. But church, there have been a lot of God's people who burnt. That doesn't excite you, does it? Doesn't excite me either. But they burnt. God did not deliver them. Hundreds of people died at the stake because they wouldn't bow. They wouldn't say things that they were pressured to say. Hello? I'm simply saying, standing when the heat gets turned up. Now, how did these boys come to stand when the heat was turned up? This is the road that I am trying to navigate as pastor of Faith Baptist Church. I'm trying to navigate, you know, keeping everybody encouraged in the things of the Lord, that God is on the throne, and yet at the same time trying to prepare us as a church and as a people when the heat gets turned up. It's a road I'm trying to navigate. It's not always easy to know what to do until God just impresses something on your heart that you know you have to preach. How did these boys stand when the heat was turned up? Well, number one, they had chosen the right friends. They had chosen the right friends. Now, before we get into it, look at chapter 2. Turn to chapter 2 here. We're going to see a verse in just a moment in chapter 2. This matter of friends is so important because friends equal influence. Friends equal influence. Don't forget that statement, okay? Now look at chapter 2, verse number 17. This is when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream and nobody could interpret it. So I'm going to kill all the magicians and the soothsayers because nobody can tell me the dream I had. So Daniel, you know, he goes in and he asked the king for some time. He says, hey, and you know, in verse number 15, 16, give me a little time. And then verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Look at that. His what? Companions. Now, church, there were more than four boys who were taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. There was more than four. We know this. Don't turn to it. We know this from Daniel chapter 1, verse 6, where the Bible says, now among these. It talks about Nebuchadnezzar coming and taking people from Jerusalem to Babylon. And it says, now among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They weren't the only four. In chapter 1, verse number 10, when Melzar was talking to him, he goes, the children which are of your sort. He's talking to four boys about the others who are of your sort. They came from Jerusalem with you. So there were more than four boys who came from Jerusalem to Babylon into captivity. Where were these other boys when these four men were abstaining from eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine? Where were they? Where were they when the image was set up and the musicians began to play? Where were they? You say, well, Daniel's not found in chapter 3. I have no patience for those who want to believe that Daniel was one of those who bowed to the image. Come on, folks. If he would refuse the king's meat, if he would say no to the king's wine, if he would pronounce judgment on Belshazzar at the feast, if he would continue to pray when the lion's den waited, I don't believe for a minute he would bow to that image. I don't know where he was, but I am sure where Daniel wasn't. He wasn't on his knees bowing to a golden idol. I believe that with all of my heart. I don't know where he was, but I don't think he was on his knees bowing. I don't know when these four boys found each other as friends, maybe in Jerusalem. Maybe they were in synagogue school together. I don't know. But one thing I do know, church, birds of a feather flock together. Water finds its own level. and two or three or four cannot walk together except they be agreed. This thing is amazing. You take 250 teenagers from all over the Midwest, you put them together at camp, and within 36 hours, the kids who want to honor God find each other, and the rebels find each other. It's like magnetism. And I'm going to tell you what, it's not just true about teenagers, it's true about adults as well. Birds of a feather flock together. People run with the crowd with whom they are comfortable. These four young men, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they hung out with each other because they were traveling the same road together for God. They were committed to the Lord. They were willing to stand. And watch it, that commonality, that common level of dedication helped them individually to take their stand when the heat got turned up. Don't tell me it didn't help Mishael that Azariah was standing. And don't tell me it didn't help Azariah that Shadrach or the other, I forget their, Hananiah was standing. Don't tell me that it didn't encourage all of them that Daniel was standing. They were standing together. The influence was positive. Am I going to stand when the heat is turned up? Well, one thing I plan on doing before it's turned up is choosing friends now who will encourage me to stand. My pastor friends are strong men. They are uncompromising men. They encourage me to stand when the going gets tough. Some of my friends are polished, some are unpolished. Some of my friends are city slickers. Some of my friends are country boys. Some of my friends are intellectually smart. Others are just blessed with horse sense. Some are loud and boisterous. Others are quieter and reserved. But all of them, they want to stand when the heat is turned up. They want to please the Lord instead of compromising to the pressure of a godless government. They are my friends on purpose. You know why? I need that influence. I need that influence if I'm going to stand when the heat's turned up. You know, you take Jerry Ross and Dan Woodward over here in Dwight. Those personalities are completely different. Brother Woodward's all rough and tough. Just rough and tough as can be. Jerry Ross is more, I don't think refined is the right word, but he's more reserved. But brother, you think being reserved means that a guy like that won't stand? You ought to see some of the stuff Jerry Ross has stood for. And Brother Woodward has been my constant companion through this entire thing starting back in March. We didn't hardly make a decision without consulting each other. It's important who your friends are, especially if you're hoping to stand when the heat is turned up. Who are your friends? Who are your friends? What do your friends encourage you to do? What do they do? Some will not stand when the heat is turned up because the friends you have chosen are more concerned with being correct in society than pleasing God. Now, if that's the influence on you, you're going to have a hard time standing when the heat's turned up. Some of you have friends that are more concerned with being measured in this matter of living for the Lord. Your friends believe there is a lot to gain from going along with the status quo and not making any waves. You know what that's called, folks? That's called influence. Status quo is not going to get it. When the heat is turned up, the status quo will be to be on the ground bowing to the image. That's what the status quo will be. Are you going to have the intestinal fortitude? Am I going to have the intestinal fortitude to put yourself in these boys' shoes? How many hundreds or thousands of people near them were bowing? And there they stand. Think about it. It's not a fairy tale. It really happened. And when they were given the opportunity, hey, rethink this thing. Don't need to rethink it. I'm going to turn the furnace up seven times. Turn it up 70 times. We don't care. We're not bowing. Don't tell me the influence of right friendships didn't help those boys stand. Look, your friends are the reason some of you aren't faithful to church services. Your friends are the reason some of you are not distinct in your dress. Your friends are the reason some of you have not given your children over to the Lord. Some of you, look, your friends are the reason some of you will end up not standing when the heat is turned up. Brother Brown called this morning. We were talking. I was reminded. I already had it in my notes of what Brother Brown said so often. You are right now, or you soon shall be what your friends are. Who are your friends? Do your friends fire you up to stand for God? Will they fire you up when the heat is turned up? Who are your friends? Who are you listening to? Who has your ear? You know, as a pastor, I used to be a youth director for 10 years, still have a great, great interest in the well-being of our teenagers. And of course, I know Brother Mick does. It is a great day when a teenager decides they're going to stand up for Jesus on their own, if need be. How about teenager? What are your friends like? What are your friends like? Well, my friends are in the Christian school. A lot of Christian school kids won't stand when the heat's turned up. What are your friends like? Will they desire to stand when the heat is turned up? Will they encourage you to do the things, you know, do the right thing, to do the same thing, stand up? You know, something that especially moves me is when I see, in this day and age, especially, when I see a young man step out on his own, not caring about what friends think. I love it. At one of the morning services this past week, I observed a young man who was sitting probably 2/3 of the way back in the crowd here. I observed a young man who is a senior step out during the invitation and come to the altar to pray. And that particular morning, he was by himself. I love it when we see a young man willing to do something alone if need be. How many altars are unvisited because of the influence of some popular young person who is not dedicated to God? I love it. Your friends have such an influence. I ask again, are you surrounded by friends who are dedicated to the Lord? Whose blogs are you listening to consistently? You know why some of you have become disenchanted with independent fundamentalism? Because of who you're listening to. You become disenchanted with being an independent Baptist. Oh, this and this and this and this. And man, with all that going on in the independent Baptist, I wouldn't even be one. I am an independent Baptist by conviction. I am not always for everything that goes on amongst independent Baptists, but that doesn't change what I am by conviction. And some people are so into blogs. Blogging. What authors are you reading? What are these authors saying? Are they saying that because you're under grace, it's not needful to be rigid? Are they saying that fundamental Baptists are legalizers? Are they saying that you're following a cult? What are they saying? Are you listening to that? Say, well, hey, people, you get enough of that going through your ear gate into your mind, it's going to have an influence on you sooner or later. You say, you're trying to have mind control. No, I'm trying to have book control. Book control. What do your friends say? If they will not stand now against the compromise, if they're half-hearted in their commitment to Christ, and you can say what you want, argue till you're blue as this wall right here. But part of your commitment to Christ shows up in your commitment to your church. He is the head. The head of the local church. I am weary of being told, well, I'm committed to Christ, and your church attendance is once every 7 days, if that. What in the world are you talking about? He's the head of the church. You say, well, that's this big universal church, chapter verse. All through the New Testament, it's the local assembly, 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 the local. I'm not the head of this place, it's His. You don't belong to me. You belong to Him. What are your friends saying? What are you listening to? Calling into question the need to be so committed to your church. You can be committed to Christ without being committed to your church. What are you going to do? Who are you listening to? What are you going to do when the heat is turned up? Part of what makes up the truth, folks, is who are our friends? Who are our influences? But that's not all. Not only did they have the right friends, they had strong commitment, number two. They had strong commitment to the body of faith they had been taught. Strong commitment. Chapter 1. Let's go. Chapter 1, verse number 8. I know it's familiar. I know it's a verse you probably can say by memory, okay? So they come with the king's wine. They come with the king's drink. We're going to assimilate you boys into Babylonian culture. We've changed your names to Babylonian names. And now we're going to change your diet. Let me ask you a question. Were the Jews not under a strict diet? They were under a strict diet. So now we're not only going to change your names, we're going to change your diet. We're going to assimilate you into Babylonian culture. We're going to assimilate you into godless, idolatrous culture. Are your eyes open? Are you seeing what's going on all around the country? They are trying to assimilate a group of people who believes firmly in God's Word. They're trying to assimilate us into godless culture. But they were committed to the body of faith that they've been taught. In verse number 8, the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. And by the way, isn't it interesting that it singles out Daniel, and in the end, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are not eating the king's meat or drinking the king's wine either. There's that thing of influence. One boy said no. One boy said, I will not. Isn't that amazing? One. But it influenced the others around him, three of them. What's amazing to me is how many of these beloved Bible heroes were people who said no to compromise. They said, I will not. They had been taught the thou shalt nots of the Bible. They had been taught that their faith had a balance between negative and positive. They had not been taught to just smile and love everything and don't rock the boat. They had been taught negatives. Do not do this. Do not drink this. Do not wear that. Do not say this. Do not go there. Not. You see, that's my problem with fundamental Baptists. It's all not. Folks, do you understand that eight out of the Ten Commandments have the word not in them? Eight. That's 80% of the Ten Commandments have the word not. And then do you understand that Jesus took those commandments and boiled them down to two? And he said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. The second like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. He took all the knots and pared them down to two commandments that both have the word love in them. It kind of sounds like not and love have a pretty close connection. That's the problem. We got Christians today who are spiritually weak. Because you don't have any knots. You think it's legalistic to have a knot. You don't even know what the word legalism means. Legalism is when you add works to salvation. I don't drink because I'm trying to get to heaven. I don't drink because God saved me. Changed me. I don't want to drink that stuff. It's slop. Absolutely. Love and not are connected. Let me ask you a question. Did Joseph love God? In Genesis chapter 37, verses 7 and 8, he said, I will not. Did David love God? In 1 Samuel 24, 10, David said, I will not. Did Uriah love God? In 2 Samuel 11, 11, he said, I will not. Did Naboth love God? In 1 Kings 21, 4, he said, I will not. Did Nehemiah love God? In Nehemiah 6, 11, he said, I will not. Did Jesus love God? Three times in Matthew chapter 4, he said, no, no, no. Three times. In chapter 1, four boys said no. In chapter 3, three boys said no. And in chapter 6, one boy said no. people, kind of sounds to me like people who love God know how to say no to compromise. If we're going to stand, when the heat gets turned up, we'll have to love God enough to say no. I understand. I get it. There's more to Christianity than what we will not do. But you can't be the Christian you're supposed to be without those knots. Can't happen. Won't happen. There's a balance between positive and negative. I am not for the crowd that says, well, I'm spiritual. Well, how are you spiritual? I don't. Well, what do you do? On the other hand, you got the crowd that says, we're not under the law. We're not under those Old Testament commandments of morality. I'm sorry, but that's not what Jesus abolished on the cross. No, that was not abolished on the cross. Homosexuality, the law about homosexuality was not abolished on the cross. They were not. The laws of morality are still intact today. So I'm not for, you know, I don't. But I'm not for the, I do, and I don't worry about what I shouldn't do. There is a proper balance between not and love. There's a proper balance between don't and do that makes us spiritual. And folks, when the heat is turned up, we will not stand. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to say when your boss tells you if you go to where crowds are, like church, you'll lose your job? You say that won't happen. Already has. Happened back in March. What are you going to do? Well, what are you going to do when church services are moved to underground type setting? You know, I know what some of you are going to do. You're already missing about 50% of the time, and there's no persecution. There's no heat. So I'm supposed to believe that, you know, when the heat gets turned up, you're going to flip the switch and start coming to underground church? Somehow, some of you have gone from being a Bible college student to once a week church attendance and justify it. It's quiet in here this morning. That's okay. I planned on being loud enough to overcome the quiet. I plowed on, you know what? I'm not nervous. I'm not shaking. I'm not scared. I'm not fearful. The fear of man bringeth a snare. So whoever doesn't like it can just not like it. You bring me chapter and verse, show me where I'm wrong, I'll apologize. I'm supposed to prepare you to stand up when the heat's turned up and you aren't showing up faithfully now. We're supposed to be beyond some of these elementary things. You know what's amazing to me about these boys? What time is it? Boy, oh boy. They most likely were young to middle-aged teenagers when they were taken captive. Everybody believes they were 14 to 15 years old. You say, well, isn't that great that they were, as 14 to 15 years old, they were willing to stand? Yes, it's great. You know what's greater? At 25 and 30, they were still standing. And that's where we're losing it. We get them through high school, and they stand because they're at home in Christian school, you know, in church. And then they get married at 22 and 23. I'm tired of standing at the marriage altar asking God to bless couples who have no intention of being faithful to the Lord. Tired of that. Oh, God, bless this couple. Put a hedge of protection for what? I'm going to tell you, folks, look, when the heat is turned up, are we going to stand? Well, we can pretty well judge that, but are we even standing now? How in the world will we stand when the heat is turned up if we are not faithful to the tenets of what we have been taught now? Now. Number three, I won't even preach it. They knew how to pray when the pressure was great. They knew how to pray when the pressure was great. I want to just write it down. Chapter 2, verse 18. When they went to prayer, I'll just illustrate it and we'll move on. Last point. Time to quit. When they went to prayer, it wasn't, "Oh God, I've done so much for you. I've given my life to you. I've served you faithfully. Oh God, I didn't drink the king's meat, eat the king's meat. I didn't drink the king's wine. Oh God, you need to do this for me." That's not how they prayed. When they went to prayer, they said, "Be merciful to me. Don't give us what we deserve. Oh God, have mercy on us." That shows a heart attitude, folks. They weren't serving God because they could get something out of Him. They were serving God because they loved Him. Number four, they were prepared to stand even if it meant death. Cut it, dice it, roll it out any way you want to. That's what they said. Our God can, and we believe He will. But if not, we'll die. Am I prepared to die for Christ? Are you? This is not Sunday. This is Sunday morning. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. It's 60 degrees. It's fall. We're supposed to be happy and carry pumpkins and caramel apples and ride on a hay rack somewhere. And this is horrible. This may be reality. If it doesn't come in my lifetime, you willing to die for Christ? Phew. Paul was. Paul said in Philippians 1:20 that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Don't miss this. Don't go to sleep on me. But that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And he wrote that from prison. Hey, if I don't get out of here, I'm prepared to die for Christ. Now, I want to be honest with you. Dying doesn't necessarily appeal to me. People complain about having birthdays and getting old. The alternative is not very appealing, folks. But you know what? I don't think we have to be afraid. You see, we're trying to figure out if we would be willing to die for Christ and wondering if we'd have enough courage to face whatever death it might be. And man, how will I stand up? And you know what, folks? I think what matters is that you and I commit ourselves to Christ. And come what may, His grace will be sufficient. You tell me, how did the martyrs go to the stake and sing? Excuse me, but if I touch the grill with my thumb, I'm... The flames were licking their bodies. The flesh was sizzling. And they were singing. Well, that's just... Well, that's what? It's not normal. It's the grace of God. If you never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you need to read it. It got so bad that they cut the tongues out because they knew that when they set fire to their bodies, they'd start singing and praising God. Now, I know what some people say. Oh, you're hyping this. You're hyping. You know, you say what you want to say. But I want to tell you something. There's a spirit unleashed in this world, the likes of which you and I haven't seen ever in our lifetime. When the heat's turned up, will I stand? Will I sing? Oh, come, angel band. Come and around me stand. Bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. Really? And the beggar died. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to try to put myself in that place. Paul's in that jail. Turn that mic on, Brother Tom. Hey, jailer. What's that noise? Oh, you don't want to know, Paul. No, I want to know. What's that noise? They're sharpening the hatchet. They're sharpening the axe. Oh, man. Timothy, the time of my departure is at hand. Right around the corner. Oh, man. I know that God has for me a crown of righteousness, not only for me, but also all them who love His appearing. I'm not going to worry about the details, folks. If push comes to shove, if this thing goes crazy, I'm not going to worry about it. You know what I'm going to worry about? Will I stand when the heat is turned? When the heat's turned up. Well, you stand when the heat's turned up. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll help us to think carefully about our life, our commitment, our level of dedication. Lord, slippage takes place over time if we're not careful. And oh God, I pray that you'll help us. We don't have to live with a black cloud over our head. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about living in victory day after day after day. But Lord, living like these young men who stood when the heat turned up, speak to our hearts as only you can. I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask this question this morning. Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If my time comes to die, when it comes to die, I know that I'm on my way to heaven because I've trusted Christ. Is that you? If you can say that truthfully and honestly this morning, would you just slip your hand in the air? Thank you. I see lots of hands. That's a blessing. Anybody this morning, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure when my time comes that I'm be ready, prepared for heaven. Anybody like that today, can I pray for you? Slip your hand up. Child of God, will you stand when the heat's turned up? Will you? I don't think it's right, even necessary to, well, bless God, I'm going to stand. I don't think it'd be braggadocious and boastful about it. I think what our heart's cry is, oh, God, help me to stand when the heat's turned up. Have the right friends. Have the right commitment. And cross that bridge in your mind. I'm going to stand even if it means death. I'm not going to compromise. My Savior. God, speak to your heart this morning. God moved you to think about your commitment, your level of dedication. Have things slipped in your life spiritually? God help us. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our pianist begins a song of invitation. You can make your way to the altar. You can pray there at your seat. Or you can do nothing. And that's what you want to do. That's fine. It's your call. But what are you going to do? You going to stand? You going to stand? What will you do when the heat's turned up? I have no crystal ball. I don't know. Everything may smooth out after the election. Maybe it will. But it just seems like every day there's something on the horizon. There's an onslaught. You see an ugliness in my mind. It's vitriolic. It's horrible. People calling for people to die. Burn this down. We're going to have our way no matter what. Boys, we'll give you a second chance. But I like you, boys. You understand science. You have the ability to stand in the king's palace. You got wisdom. We'll give you another chance with music. Don't worry about it, king. Don't even start the band. Forget it. We're not bowing. We're not bowing. Whew. Live that story. Go home and think about that story. Spend some time this week thinking about it. About three boys standing in a plane full of people who are kneeling. Put yourself there. Will you stand when the heat's turned up? Will you stand when the heat's turned up? Oh, may God help us. May God help us. God help us.